Kevin P. Chavis, a board member of the American Federation for Children.
Thank you very much. And we were just talking about school vouchers and, you know, charter schools this week in the newsroom. And one of the statements from the American Federation of Teachers, where she's calling these situations a form of a new form of segregation. Your thoughts?
Well, that's absolutely not the case. And I think, frankly, it's disappointing that Randy Weingarten, the head of the AFT, would go there. Charter schools and private school choice options really make integration more possible. Think about it. Right now, the biggest purveyor of segregation are the urban school districts because of white flight and urban neglect. Most of our major school districts are segregated. And through these options where you take kids from failing urban schools and put them in better performing schools, either charter schools or private schools, oftentimes integration numbers get better. But more than that, this really isn't about whether or not the AFT feels that this is some example of segregation. This really is about parent empowerment. And we find far too many parents of color who don't have the opportunity to educate their children the way they should. And that's why these other options are popular. You've got over 1 million kids on the charter school waiting list. You've got hundreds of thousands of kids availing themselves of private school options. And with nearly half the kids of color dropping out of school in America, parents want education by any means necessary. And they're finding that through these other options.
Now, the stats as far as progress and achievement in the charter schools, can you speak on that?
Yeah, it's interesting. You know, the Credo report out of Stanford has been the most critical report of charter schools and says that on balance, a lot of charter schools do about as well, and somewhat better than traditional public schools. But it says when it comes to kids of color and kids with challenged backgrounds, charter schools do markedly better. Our view is that this is an opportunity to lift all boats. We've seen it in D.C., we've seen it in Florida, we've seen it in Milwaukee. You know, we've seen it wherever there's a robust charter movement, wherever there are increased options, the traditional school district does better. In D.C., where I came from, we have 45% of our public school kids in charter schools, and we have a robust opportunity scholarship program for low-income kids to go to private schools. And guess what? D.C. Public Schools is doing better. And outgoing Chancellor Ty Henderson said that the competition did matter. In fact, D.C. Public Schools enrollment has increased the last 3 years. So once parents are empowered, then everyone has to respond to that. Right now, that one-size-fits-all doesn't meet the needs for so many of our kids, particularly our African-American boys who've been stigmatized and labeled in some of these traditional settings that have served them well.
Mm-hmm. And specifically as it relates to the NAACP, I know this was pitched as a response to the NAACP's moratorium on charter schools. Your comments?
Well, they say they want accountability. There's no better accountability than the parents' voice. And the NAACP, in fact, no group should be the education decider or gatekeeper for parents. Parents should make that choice. We're facing a crisis. As Jeffrey Canada, head of the Harlem Children's Zone, said, people talk about a fiscal cliff. Well, we're in the midst of an education cliff, and we're walking off it. Right now, 75% of the black students in California aren't at grade level. Two-thirds of our high school graduates are neither career nor college ready. I think more is more. Less is not more. And what we should be doing is what we're seeing happen in D.C., where all of a sudden charter school teachers, think about this now, the best charter school teachers and principals getting together with D.C. public school's best principals and teachers and coming up with the best way to share practices, and they're looking around the city and figuring out, should we put a traditional public school, D.C. public school in this site where there's limited options and poor performance, or should we put a charter school? That's the vision. Where it's not about either or picking sides. It's about creating an environment where you have the best laboratory of options for kids, particularly kids of color, and kids in need.
Why is this issue such has it become such a political football?
Well, Kim, you touched on it. I mean, the real challenge is that the politics of education is toxic to kids. And I know I'm an advocate, but if you strip away the extremes, just think about where we are in this country. Right now, the gap between the haves and have-nots have grown. The income disparities have grown, and the educational disparities and achievement gaps have grown. And everyone knows education is a great equalizer. I think that the partisanship we've seen in the country has helped further divide us educationally. And I also think that, frankly, some of the status quo politics for a lot of union officials like Randy Weingartner is about control and it's about power. If you read Citizen Stewart's piece on Twitter, he talks about how one of the things the union did in the late 60s and early 70s, if you want to talk about segregation, is help destroy community schooling for black schools, eight black schools in Ocean, Brownsville area of New York. We're at the point now where we really shouldn't have people opining or controlling the education of poor people and sending them to schools they wouldn't send their kids to. I think that should be the ultimate standard. There should be no school open that you wouldn't want your kids to go to if you're an educator funder or education, a politician who votes on Education Matters. And that should be the ultimate goal. And I think the politics of education has had a stranglehold on all of us. And what we should be promoting is holistic, expansive learning. I mean, the essence of education is to think expansively, not constrictively. And I think that those who want to limit options for poor black and brown people in this country, they may think they're doing the right thing because they have this sentimental view of public schools where they used to be. But when you got some schools with 80 and 90% dropout rate, like some of our 2,000 dropout factories in America, they're not serving anyone any good. And we need to get out of the sentimentality and start putting kids in schools that work for them.
Mm-hmm. I know you said in D.C. there's been a meeting of minds of sorts from between charter and public schools in some areas. I know a lot of teachers, public school teachers, some of them are my very good friends. They feel that the voucher program, the charter school program, will completely dismantle the public education system. Do you see that happening?
I do not. I mean, think about it. We've had charter schools for 20 years, about the same time we started private school choice programs. And over the last 20 years, education funding has doubled or tripled in a lot of places. It's not really that we don't have enough money. It's what we do with the money. And think about it. In some places, as little as 60% of the dollars that are spent on education go in the classroom. The big problem is not teachers like probably the ones you know who are good teachers. The big problem are some of the teachers who can't teach who go to center office and become the assistant to the deputy assistant for curriculum, and they gobble up six-figure salaries and keep the money from going in the classroom. I mean, I think that the reason why charter schools have gained traction is because you don't have that bureaucracy. These unfunded pension liabilities from paying teachers who maybe can't teach, but they've been there long enough, they get promoted. And I know it sounds harsh, but I do know that there are some amazing public schools, some incredible public school teachers. But I bet if you talk with some of your teachers that you know, just like I've talked to teachers I know in my family, and ask them some of their barriers to teaching day to day, they won't talk about charter schools or private schools. They'll talk about, I got a requisition downtown to get books, or I don't have supplies, or my principal doesn't have the authority to hire and fire. And they also point to that teacher down the hall that they know shouldn't be there, but because of union rules, they can't be fired, and they haven't been reviewed in years, but they get automatic pay increases. I mean, I think that we've got to deal with those kinds of things that people don't want to deal with, but they whisper about. Every time I speak, you know, people say I'm, you know, the crazy one. But when I speak in front of teachers, they cheer me and then they pull me aside and say, you're right, because of what's going on day to day. We empower teachers by showing them love and showing them support. But we can't have them, the good teachers, carry the weight of those that aren't effective and who may end up being their bosses when they get kicked upstairs because of tenure. And so I think that, you know, even if we didn't have charter schools or we didn't have private schools, we still would have some of these problems because of the way the system is structured.
Mm-hmm. And just an aside, there was a story I saw on the news the other day, I think it was a local story, where a woman, a teacher, who was out panhandling on the street, her sign read, "Need supplies for my classroom." Her goal was to raise, I think, $1,000 or something like that. She ended up raising about $70,000, where she can now help all of her, you know, most of the teachers in her school get supplies for the school. And that's just another, you know, a story with, as it relates to funding and, you know, the things that teachers, like you said, teachers talk about that they actually need.
Yeah, I see that all the time. I speak all over the country. I've been to hundreds of schools. There aren't many people who've been to more schools around America, nearly every state. And I go to traditional public schools, private schools, charter schools, religious schools, specialty schools, magnet schools, all schools, because I believe in supporting schools that work for kids. And I am amazed by the resiliency of our teachers and our students in need. And I am extremely disappointed in school districts that talk the talk, but they don't walk the walk when it comes to supporting our teachers. I mean, it is an abysmal fact that you've got some school districts that are failing where only 60% of the money goes to the classroom. And it beats up an administration that may or may not be working for kids. So, no, I think you're right. And I think that these are the kind of issues that we've got to start talking about when we want to build a learning culture in America, one that's positively infectious and one in which we can celebrate the best of our children. But it's hard to do that when people get forced to be put into a box just because they talk about some of the real challenges that get in the way of learning.
Well, you know what? Next week, one of my colleagues is going to be talking with Ms. Weingarten. If I could double back after we talk to her, would that be okay? Just to get
that
maybe
would be terrific. And
okay,
tell Randy
right.
that she needs to do what she can to rid herself of those teachers that aren't teaching. And maybe one thing she could do is professionalize teaching. You know, a Nation of Risk 30 years ago said that they should professionalize teaching corps. You should ask her that. And what that means is teachers would get more money, but they wouldn't have to worry about us firing, suspending bad teachers. Once you professionalize teachers, similar to what lawyers and doctors do, they will sanction themselves. They'll set up their own review panels, and they'll get rid of their own dead weight. And when Randy and I debated at Stanford, she said she supported that, but she hadn't pushed it. Because a lot of union people don't like it. If we professionalize teachers, give them more money, set up peer reviews, and get rid of this tenure for life, and then you know, like lawyers and doctors, you can get disbarred or you can lose your license if you don't do your job right, and you get your master's certification, you get more money. I mean, I think that would go a long way toward fixing some of the things that people complain about.
Okay, well, be sure to definitely ask her that question.
All right.